Okay, this week is part four on, the kingdom of God. We've been teaching about the kingdom of God. And last week we started talking about what the kingdom of God is. And we got into it. We found that there's five fundamental elements to the kingdom of God. The first four are found in Romans 14, and I covered the first three of those. Romans 14, 17 says, For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, we talked about righteousness, peace, and joy. And of course, those are in the Holy Spirit. But I want to talk about the Holy Spirit for a moment. And this is where we'll pick up to this week, is we'll pick up on talking about the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm just going to give you some scriptures, and then just talk about them for a minute. John 16, 7 through 15 says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage." Now, this is Jesus talking. "It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, and of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged." And then verse 12, he goes on to say, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." Now understand something. Jesus is talking here. And he's talking as they leave the upper room where they had the Passover, and they're heading over to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he's going to be betrayed. And in that, I don't know how far away it was, but in that period of time while they're walking over, he's sharing these things with them. Okay, so these are like his last words to them before he gets taken into custody. And he says, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you." All right? The point of this that I'm getting at into here is this is when we talk about in the Holy Spirit, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, we're talking about how God causes the Holy Spirit to show us and help us walk in righteousness. He helps us. He shows us how to walk in peace. He shows us how to walk in joy. And if you look it up, in Galatians 5:22, peace and joy are part of the fruit of the Spirit. Now, righteousness is a reality. Righteousness is a condition that we walk in with God. Okay? And I got into this last week. I don't want to really get back into it. But it also conveys, the whole reality of righteousness, it also is about our right standing with God, our relationship, our covenant relationship with God. Now, we're not really familiar with this because as Gentiles, we didn't grow up in covenant with God like Jewish people did. We grew up outside of God. We grew up outside of the covenant with God. We grew up outside of knowing God, really. And so as a result, I got born again when I was young. Some of you did as well. But still the point being, we weren't connected into the culture of covenant relationship. And you need to understand that covenant relationship is really critical. That's why righteousness is so important for us, is that it's critical to us walking in the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God is going to manifest that for us. It's going to bring it into expression for us. I mean, you talk about where Jesus says in Matthew 6:33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness," and his right, and it's, and the word his righteousness, the kingdom of God, the subject of the sentence isn't God, it's the kingdom of God. It's God's kingdom is the subject. And so it's its righteousness. We're to seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness and the righteousness of the kingdom. So as you start walking in righteousness, you're going to start walking in the rights of the kingdom of God. You're going to start walking in the rights of the kingdom of Jesus, okay? And so that becomes really critical. Now, as you do that, the Holy Spirit begins to empower these things. And what he does is, it's found right here what he will do, how he begins to empower these things. Now, notice it says, You know, when he, the helper, has come, the Spirit of truth, he will convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. Okay, of sin that they do not believe in me. So we don't have to go about convicting anybody. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. He'll convict the world of sin. We don't have to go about convicting the world of righteousness, our righteousness with God, because Jesus said, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Well, that doesn't mean that we're without Jesus. Jesus went to the Father to send us the Holy Spirit. And part of our righteousness is walking in the Spirit. That's part of our righteousness. And you need to understand that. That part of, you got to understand, if you go back to Galatians 3:13, it says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, okay? He redeemed us from the curse of the law. That's part of what we have now as the reality of our lives, that we're redeemed from the curse of the law. Part of the reality that we have now is, and this is really interesting, I've been going back and forth. God's been bringing Galatians 3:13 up to me a few times. And one of the things that I noticed is that Paul says that Christ redeemed us. He says us from the curse of the law. When in the next thing he says, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. He doesn't say that the blessing of Abraham might come upon us because he's already Jewish. He's already a Jew. And so the blessings of Abraham already belong to him. But they've been transferred to us now, so that we now have the blessings of Abraham. And then he goes on to say that the promise, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And that promise of the Spirit goes back to what Paul, or what Peter talked about in Acts chapter 2, I believe it was, when he says that, what he says the promise, and he's talking about what they were seeing, that the Holy Spirit came upon them, you know, and that he filled them. And then they spoke with tongues and they prophesied and all these kinds of things begin to happen. He said, this promises to you and to your children and to all who believe, for who all are afar off. And so it doesn't matter. I mean, we are part of that. Amen. And so the Holy Spirit helps. That's the promise of the Spirit, is walking in this new reality. And what happens with a lot of the body of Christ is, people, is that they get born again. And then they just become what's called good Christians. You know, they go to church, they read their Bibles, you know, they try to behave right. You know, they try to behave according to the word. They witness when they can. Okay? And that's all good. But there's an aspect of this, there's a reality of this that we're completely that is being completely missed. And that's the reality of walking in the Spirit. And that is the one of the fundamental parts of walking in the kingdom of God. Because when you look at what he says up here in Revelation, in Romans chapter, in Romans 14, look at what Paul says here. He says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. And see, that's what we've all thought. You know, we know everybody gets caught up in the whole prosperity movement, the whole blessing movement. You know, they think that the kingdom of God is us being blessed on the earth. No, there's going to be blessing for the blessings of Abraham have come upon us as Gentiles. So there's going to be blessing. But that's not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not how much God is filling your house with stuff. It's not how, and it's not how well, you know, you're liked or loved socially. It's not how well you're doing at your work. Those are all good things, and I'm not putting them down. But the kingdom of God goes beyond that. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. See, it's all in the Holy Spirit. And so the Spirit of God, is the whole reality. He's the one that brings the reality of the kingdom of God first in us, and then it begins to flow out of us and begin to take over our lives. And that's when you see the blessings of Abraham manifesting. You see other things begin to happen. You're walking free from the curse of the law. But it's the Holy Spirit that's really key to this. And so, you know, we can't just walk around saying in the Holy Spirit. Okay, I've got the Holy Spirit. Well, okay, so what? You got the Holy Spirit. What are you doing with the Holy Spirit in you? Just because you've been filled with the Spirit and you speak in tongues, what are you doing with him in you? You know, what part is he truly playing in your life? Are you dependent upon him to lead and guide you as needed? Are you seeking to be connected to him daily? You know, how often do you spend time praying in the Spirit to open the door for the Holy Spirit to begin to infiltrate you and minister to you. And this is going to become important later on. You're going to see later on when I start talking about how the kingdom of God actually will manifest, how the kingdom of God actually functions. When I start talking about that, that's going to become important because the Holy Spirit, He is the means by which that you get infiltrated in and infested with the kingdom of God, if you want to put it that way. You know, that you're mingled with it. It's all part of you. Amen. It's really, it becomes more and more real to you than what you see with your eyes. And that's where we've got to get people. If we really want to truly walk in that place with God, where we're walking in the kingdom of God, we've got to start giving the Holy Spirit more time. We've got to give Him more place in our lives. And so the Holy Spirit, He manifests, and what does He do? He takes care of the world for us. You know, I mean, we don't have to worry about trying to convict people. We just got to live our life. We got to speak what God tells us to speak. If we give an answer to a man, if somebody asks us for the reason of the hope that is in us, we give them that answer with meekness and trembling. We speak out of love and we speak out of that meekness. You know, we're not arrogant. We're not, you know, brash. We're doing it in meekness. And that's all it takes. And let the Holy Spirit work on them. And He'll do His job. And then Jesus goes on to say, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. People, God, Jesus has so much more to say to us. Are we listening? Or are we afraid to hear? Are we afraid that if we're hearing it, that we're going to have to turn away from some things that we like or love? Amen. Are we going to have to replace some things? You know, we can't be afraid of that. It's funny because I've been walking with God for over 50 years now. You know, I've been born again 52 years now. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something. When you walk with God, He doesn't take anything away from you. He adds to you. But there's always that condition that He's got to be first. You know, we've got to understand that He's got to be first. If God doesn't become first in our life, the way we show Him that He's first in our lives is that, you know, we don't just pay Him lip service and say, God, You're first in my life. No, we live the reality of it. That's how we show that He's first in our lives. He's not out to take, He's out to bless. And so as He does that, then His blessing comes upon your life. And those things that you enjoy, you'll get to enjoy them, but they won't hold that place of authority in your life or power over you. Amen? You'll be free from it. And if you need to turn away from it, you can. And when you get an opportunity to enjoy it, you get to enjoy it. But you know what? I'm going to tell you something. You know, I told God a long time ago, you know what? I don't like traveling too much, but when I know that I need to, I know that I can go. When I say need to, that this is important. It's not just me running off, you know, traveling around and doing my thing. But when I'm doing it with purpose in my heart, and knowing that it's okay with God, I know that I'm safe. I know that I'm safe. And I've traveled a lot of places into some very dangerous places. And God has always taken care of me. I've never gotten sick from being there. Even when other people have gotten sick, I never got sick. Because I listened to God. Just as a quick example, I traveled in Mexico for a little bit. And I was in Mexico. I was actually in Oaxaca. And, you know, we were there ministering in different churches and stuff like that. And I was with another missionary friend of mine. And we were ministering and, you know, in the church. And the next morning we were getting ready to leave, catch our flight. And, you know, we went to the pastor's house to enjoy a breakfast with him before we were on our way. And, you know, our meals were served and stuff. And he had this big lump of Oaxacan cheese in the middle of the table, and you know, because it's like their cultural thing that they do in that state. It's a big deal. And I was getting ready and I took a little piece of it, you know, and I started to eat it, and God spoke up on the inside of me. He said, I wouldn't eat that if I was you. I'm like, oh, seriously? And He goes, no. And I said, okay. And I ate the rest of my meal and I didn't eat the cheese. And the missionary friend of mine, he ate the cheese. And later on, man, he ended up getting super sick because of the cheese. And I listened to God. You know, it was something I was there with purpose. Now, for him, you know, he can be a little bit like, you know, I can eat anything and I'm tough kind of a guy. I'm not stupid, man. I pay attention. I don't let that get in there. You know, I don't have nothing to prove. And so I took a little bit and put on my plate, but I never ate it. And so it was funny because we left and he got real sick. I mean, he got sick even after we got back. And nothing happened to me. But you know what? God leads and guides us. He's there with us. And man, when God spoke to me, it was loud and clear. There was no question about it in my mind. And see, that's what God loves to have with us. He loves to have that kind of relationship where when he speaks up, you're like, okay, I'm listening, man. Here I am. And you know, you go about doing it and following what he says. And not only do you get saved a bunch of problems, but you also get blessed in the process. Amen. And this is part of the kingdom of God, is that you're walking in this super awareness of God. And that's what the Holy Spirit does for us. He gives us that super awareness of God. We couldn't have it without him. And that's part of the ministry. That's part of why you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, is because, you know, you got to understand, a lot of people teach, well, that baptism happened when you were born again. No, it didn't. And I'm telling you straight out, the baptism of the Holy Spirit did not happen when you got born again. And there's scriptural facts to back that up. When Philip went down to Samaria and preached the gospel, the whole city turned to Jesus. They burnt their books and he baptized them. They got saved. And then that news of that came to Jerusalem and they heard that they got saved. And they said, hey, you got to go down there. Peter and John, you guys go down there and pray for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. And Peter and John went down there to pray for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. And they had a tremendous move of the Spirit. People worshiped God. They spoke in tongues. There was mighty manifestation of the Spirit of God that came upon the people as they ministered. Even so much that this false prophet wanted to buy the gift of being able to give the Holy Spirit. Because it was such a powerful thing. You know? And the Holy Spirit was given to us for that reason, to enact, to cause to come into manifestation all of what God inside of us, people. I'm not talking about outside of us. I'm talking about first inside of us, to bring into manifestation the kingdom of God on the inside of us. That's what he's here for. And see, the kingdom of God is righteousness. It is joy and peace in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit. And we need to understand that. And so as I share this with you right now, as I'm going through this, understand this is how it begins. This is how it marks. This is how that manifestation of the kingdom of God and all that God has done for us in Christ Jesus begins to express itself on the inside of us and then on the outside of us as well. Verse 13 goes on to say, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. Look at that. He'll tell you what Jesus is saying. He'll tell you what the Father is saying. He will tell you things to come. How do you think that God got us ready for the, you know, for the pandemic before it even hit? 4 years before that, God started giving us, you know, that there's this thing was coming, man. We had to get ready. We had to be spiritually ready. And I dare say that a lot of you weren't totally ready, even though you'd been warned twice. You know, first 4 years, and then the second time was two years before the pandemic happened. And then it happened. And some of you were like, what's going on? And God warned you over and over again that this was coming. Why would we be surprised about that? Amen. And so he'll show you things to come. And then he goes on to say in verse 14, Jesus is saying these things. He says, he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. So everything that Jesus has is from the Father. So whatever he declares is coming from God as well. Amen. So you have this reality. This is like one of the first manifestations, one of the first things that the kingdom of God is in manifestation. And how it functions, not man functions, but how it manifests, is that all of a sudden you start becoming aware of things. God starts showing you truths. Now, don't think that doesn't happen without the Word of God. I mean, that's critical to this. We'll get into that some other time. But you got to understand that the Holy Spirit works in that way. He shows you things. And then 1 Corinthians 12:4 says, but there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is going to bring gifts. part of what he does, these are grace gifts. These are powers. These are abilities that come upon us to be able to accomplish and do things. Amen. And it goes on to say in verse 7, it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But, verse 11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. You know, the Holy Spirit is willing to distribute. Otherwise, why would it say, you know, why would it say that the manifestation is given to each one for the profit of all? Some of you have a word of knowledge. Some of you have faith. This extra dispensation or gifting of faith. To others, gifts of healing. So others, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, you know, different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. You all have these abilities working on the inside of you, and that's part of the manifestation of the kingdom of God in you, is the Holy Spirit expanding you and beginning to use you in a much more supernatural way. And let me tell you something. When you pray in tongues, you got to understand something. When you pray in tongues, see, in the very beginning when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, it says, and the whole house was filled in the Holy Spirit with fire, and they split off into flames, and they sat upon, you know, when the Holy Spirit came, and he sat upon each and every one of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. So that spirit of fire came upon them, sat on them, and then they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And what was the immediate thing they began to do? They began to speak in tongues. They began to speak in tongues. Now, see, listen, once you get baptized with the Holy Spirit, you are now empowered to speak in tongues. And so now being empowered to speak in tongues, as you speak in tongues, that's how you get the Holy Spirit back out into your flesh. The more you pray in tongues, the more that comes upon your flesh. What you do when you pray in tongues is you're working in harmony physically. Physically, listen to me. You're working in harmony physically with the Holy Spirit. And so as you're doing that, there's this commingling going on where the Holy Spirit is beginning to affect your flesh. And how do you think that anointing begins to manifest? You know, where you walk in the anointing and the power of God, you pray in the Spirit. And that's how he gets back out on you. And as you do that, there's these other things that begin to happen, these manifestations of the Spirit that begin to come out of you. And they begin to, God uses them to help and bless other people. You know, that's what he wants. This is part of the kingdom of God. And you got to understand, you can't separate yourself from the body of Christ. You can't separate yourself from the world unless you die and go to heaven. You're here. And so you're intimately connected with the body of Christ. And your first responsibility is to minister to one another. Amen? To minister is given to each one for the profit of all. Amen? And the Holy Spirit does these things. And this is part of how the kingdom begins to express itself through you. You know, it's not just about you. It's about God expressing himself through you to the world. And it becoming so powerful on the inside of you that people can't deny it. They can't, the expression of it becomes unstoppable. It becomes, you know, people just, they walk into you and they're like, you know, they don't even know what they're looking at. But you become that expression of the kingdom of God. Amen. You become that expression of the kingdom of God. And the Holy Spirit is critical to bringing that into manifestation. Now, understand something. That later on, I'm going to tie the Holy Spirit into this a little bit more intimately, but you'll see, amen. You'll see. Now, the fifth element. I like this. The fifth element reminds me of the movie, The Fifth Element. The fifth element of the kingdom of God is power. And you know, 1 Corinthians 4:20 says, "For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." You know, the kingdom of God is not in word. The word "word" there is just the word logos. You know, and it means talking. You know, it's just something said. You know, it's speech, a word uttered by a living voice, embodies a conception or idea, the faculty of speech, the skill and practice in speaking. And that's what Paul was referring to, was that skill and practice in speaking. Now, that definition is coming from there. But you got to understand that at the time that, you know, people were getting caught up in eloquence. There are some ministers out there that are so focused on how they speak and their eloquence and how they communicate to the people that there is no power in what they're saying. It's all eloquence of word. Now, God can bring people along that are eloquent in word and in power. They have great power. Apollos was one of those guys. You know, he was very eloquent, but he also walked in the power of God. Now, so something said, including the thought, is the primary meaning of that. But he says the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. And the word power there is the word dunamis. It means force, literally or figuratively. Specifically, it means miraculous power. Thayer defines it as strength, power, ability. And then Thayer goes on to say, power for performing miracles. You have supernatural ability. You have supernatural strength. You have supernatural power. Listen to me. You have these things. That's what that word forces means. It carries the implication of physical strength. It also carries the implication of ability. The word force can also be used in the sense of resources, but it also means power, the kind of power that can perform miracles. Amen? Now, power, every time you pray and believe God to be healed, and you get healed, that's the power of God in manifestation. Amen? And you need to understand that. Now, where does that power come from? When we get that power when we receive the Holy Spirit. Now, this is different from being sealed with the Holy Spirit, and I've already talked about that at the new birth. And Acts 8, go to Acts 8, 14 through 17. I think that's where I talk about where John and Peter and John go down to Samaria to get them filled with the Holy Spirit. But the scripture is Acts 1, 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, understand something. Everybody will tell you that this scripture was written to the disciples, to the apostles. But it actually was written to a group of people. We don't know how many people were there in that moment when he spoke that to them. And ultimately, now listen to me, ultimately, and you got to get this. If you really want to walk in that power, then you've got to become witnesses to him. There's one of those caveats where you can walk in that power to a great degree, but you need to understand that faith is the ability God has given you to receive whatever you need, to receive all of the promises of God, to receive the blessings, to receive, you know, whether it's healing or whatever it is you need, deliverance. Faith is what God gave you for that. That power that he gave you wasn't for you to consume upon yourself. That power that he gives you is for expressing out the kingdom of God that's inside you out to other people. And as you go about witnessing, you know, you also go about healing or casting out demons. You go about, you know, praying for people to be set free or delivered. You know, somebody has a need for that need to be met. And see, when people see those results, then they know God is real. They know that God is there. They know that his power has been made manifest to them. But you've been called to walk in power. Now, there's some commitments involved in that. And some of you may be thinking right now, well, you know, I don't really care to be a witness or anything like that, so I don't care if I walk in that power. But, you know, that's all on you. Because you're going to hinder, listen to me, you're going to hinder the effect of the kingdom of God on the inside of you if you don't let that come out, if you don't let it out on some level. Because it wasn't meant, you got to understand, Jesus said, you tell them that the kingdom of God has come near them. See, when he told his disciples, you know, to go heal, and I'm going to get into those scriptures in a minute here, but I'm ahead of myself. But you got to understand that when you go and you minister to somebody, the kingdom of God is coming near to them. And when it comes near to them, they have an opportunity to open up and receive the kingdom of God for themselves. I remember one time I was preaching, and this is way back before we had swords. It was another church I had established called Believers Fellowship. And we were in this small little building, and it was funny because this one lady came to me and said, "Hey, I got some friends coming. They're getting ready to go into the service." Both of them, two younger ladies, and they're getting ready to go into the service. you know, and they're going to be gone for a few years in the military. And so I wanted to bring them one last time. Hopefully they'll get saved, and they volunteered to come. And so will you please offer the opportunity for anybody that would like to get saved to get saved? And I said, yeah, sure, I'll do that. I mean, if they say no, they say no. It's not a problem to me. And it was hilarious because at the end of my teaching, and it was like on a Bible study night. And at the end of my teaching, you know, I said, everybody bow your heads for a moment. I said, if there's anybody in here who would like to receive Jesus, please raise your hands. And nobody did. You know, they didn't. They just kind of were staring at each other a little bit. I could see. And so, you know, and I said, you know, and I gave it a couple of more moments. And then I just said, okay, that's okay. And then God spoke to me and he said, you know what? You know, call that one up, that one right there, call her up and minister to her. And I can't remember what I did now. It was quite a while back, but I called her up. I asked her, I go, you know, God's got something he wants to say to you. Are you open to that? And she looked at me and her eyes perked up and she goes, yeah. And so she came up and I laid hands on her and I spoke a word of knowledge to her and word of wisdom, mostly a word of knowledge. It was in a prophecy form. And I spoke the word of knowledge to her and stuff. And she just started weeping. And she goes, I go, was that God talking to you? And she goes, yes, absolutely. And I said, would you like to accept Jesus? She goes, absolutely. And her friend was back there with her eyes as wide as saucers, like, oh my God, this is real. And then I looked back at her and I saw her. I said, would you like to accept Jesus too? And she said, yes. And so she hopped up and came up front and we prayed with them to receive Jesus. And they both got born again. You know, sometimes when you're expressing the kingdom of God, when that's coming out and you're ministering to somebody. Now, for her, I gave her a prophecy, a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge. And I gave her a prophecy, you know, and ministered to her. And man, she saw how God knew where she was, right where she was at. That God loved her, that God was there for her, that he was promising to help her and take care of her, you know? And she just jumped right in both feet with no sweat. And both of them got saved because of that. See, so you gotta understand that it's more than just, you know, preaching Jesus at people. Sometimes it's ministering to them, you know, and the Spirit of God is what empowers us to do these things. And we gotta be willing to do it, amen. If we want to see God move in that fashion. We want to see the kingdom of God begin to manifest. And it says here, this next thing I want you to understand about power. To the degree that that power is at work in you will be to the degree that it will make things happen. And you need to understand that. That's from Ephesians 3:20. It says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. And it goes on to say, to him be glory, okay, in the church. Now, you got to understand here. According to the power that works in us. The word power there again is that word dunamis. You know, that power only works to the degree. That power will only do what is exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. It can only do as high up as it is at work in us. If it's not at work in us, people, then guess what? You're not going to have very much power in your life. So you've got to get that word. You got to get that power active. And that's what the word works there means. It's the word energio, and it means to be active or efficient, okay? To be operative, to be at work, to put forth power. You know, you got to put that power to work. You got to exercise it. You got to make it active. And if you're not doing anything with the power of God, then it's not at work in you, even though it abides in you because the Holy Spirit abides in you. He's the source of that power. But he also, the more you walk in the kingdom of God, the more you walk in the Holy Spirit's expression of these things and you begin to spend time with him, you get the word in you, you pray in the Spirit, you're listening to God, you're obedient, you know, the Holy Spirit is beginning to manifest through you, through the gifts of the Spirit, and so on. And as he begins to express himself more and more, he's showing you things to come. He's teaching you all things that Jesus says, you know, you're learning, you're growing, all these things are happening. The peace and the joy, you know, that righteousness is rising up. The more these things begin to express, the more power you are activating inside of you. See, it requires all these things to begin to express inside you. You know, that righteousness, that sense of righteousness, that joy, that peace. Amen. And then, you know, the activity of the Holy Spirit working in you, being active in you, that power becomes active along with him. And that's something that you need to understand. You know, people, you know, some people think that you know, I just go grab a message and I just come up with all this stuff. No, I pray. I pray through the message as I'm working on it, to be able to get what God wants me to share with you, to preach. And then I pray to keep myself built up in my most holy faith. I pray in the Spirit. You know, I pray in English, but I also pray in the Spirit. And I pray to keep myself built up so that I keep things active on the inside of me. Amen. And it amazes me sometimes, because I've had to pray with people over the phone, and you know, I'll be on the phone and I'll be, you know, I'll go to pray, and as I go to pray, the anointing begins to flow. It's very powerful. And it's just like, I don't talk much about it, but it's expressing itself. And that makes me, that thoroughly blesses me, because I know that power is at work. It's active on the inside of me. I don't get to use it as much as I used to when I was there physically with you guys, and you always had need for prayer, and I was able to pray with you guys all the time. But it's there, and it makes me thrilled. It just thrills me to know that. Amen. Because that's something I strive to maintain. And it's not just, you know, it just God flips a switch and you're on. It doesn't work like that. Now, it may seem like that sometimes. I mean, even when I preach and teach, sometimes I'll start off and I'll fumble around a little bit. And then all of a sudden I hit the flow and I'm in there, man. I'm teaching. That's God. That's absolutely God. You get to see those things happen. But that's part of the kingdom of God. For me, that's even part of the kingdom of God expressing. Even as I'm teaching right now, the kingdom of God is expressing itself through me out to you. And that's what God wants you guys to get a hold of, is that when you begin to really walk in the kingdom of God, it's in you first. And as you begin to walk in what's in you, it begins to manifest and express itself out. And it'll do all kinds of things, man. Amen. Now, as a result of this, you know, the righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, and the power of God, we have now been empowered to cast out demons. Now, Matthew 12:28 says, "But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you." Okay, if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. So when you're casting out a demon, the kingdom of God is expressing itself, and it's absolutely coming upon somebody. When I've cast out demons before, man, and it's expressing the kingdom of God is coming upon that person. And when it's doing that, and it's all happening by the Spirit of God. And see how that ties together. You're casting out a demon by the Spirit of God. The kingdom of God has come upon you. And the word come, it means, is the word phthano, which means to come to arrive at, to reach, to attain to. In other words, the kingdom of God arrives at that person. It comes to that person. It's not like the word erkomai, which means to come and go. It's a different kind of word. It means to arrive at. The kingdom of God arrives at you when the demons are being cast out. And so if the devil's in your house trying to harass you and you cast that devil out, you're imposing the kingdom of God upon your house and upon that devil. And it drives them out. They can't handle it. They can't enter it. They can't be a part of it. I remember one time I went to this house to minister to this man who had something happened to him mentally, and you know, the doctors, he was brilliant engineer. I think he was an engineer, and he was really intelligent, really doing well and stuff like that. And something happened. I think they went to Mexico or someplace like that, and something happened, and he just kind of, either somebody tried to curse him or whatever. And you know, a demon came upon him. Now, this guy was not born again, you know, that I know of, and because he couldn't have been possessed if he was. But you know, the person, the wife that, you know, we were ministering, you know, to her husband, or maybe it was her brother or something like that. I can't remember now. But he, you know, they were born again. And so, you know, we walk into the house and they're like, "Hey, you know, we made dinner." I said, "I'm not here for dinner. I'm here to cast out a devil." I said, you know, I said it much nicer than that. I'm not here to partake of your guys' blessings. I'm here to minister. And you kind of, when it comes to casting out devils, man, and you're dealing with something where, you know, that the person might be demon possessed, you know, you don't want to be full of food. You want to be fasted as much as you can, just ministering. And so, you know, they said, "Okay, fine, you know, let's get with it, man." And so, you know, they brought him in the room. We talked a little bit around the word and ministered the word to her and stuff like that, and just kind of got in the right place with them. And he was just out of it, man. This guy was like a zombie, man. He just was in a trance almost. He was drooling, and, you know, he couldn't talk. He was just kind of there, right? And it was a trip, because I go, okay, let's pray for him, you know. And I didn't know what I was specifically dealing with. I thought maybe it might be a spirit, but I didn't know what it was. And so I went to lay hands on him. And typically, when you cast out a devil, you don't have to lay hands on him. You just speak to the devil and command it to be gone. But that's when the demon is kind of manifesting, okay? In this case, I didn't know what I was dealing with, so I laid hands on him. And as I laid hands on him, God opened my eyes. And as soon as I laid hands on him, the anointing began to flow. And when I did, I saw two demons drop off of him. One stepped out the back of him, and that demon was as tall as he was. And the another demon dropped off his shoulder and fell on the ground, and it was like a little mocking devil. I've seen him before, and this is like a little mocking devil, you know. And the one that backed out the back of him started walking around trying to get to the back side of me so I wouldn't see him, so that maybe he could try and enter this guy again later. And I saw that one, and I dealt with him first, and I spoke to him. I said, I see you. You're not getting away. I command you in the name of Jesus to be gone. You loose this man, you let him go, and you don't come back. And then, you know, he all of a sudden just, boom, gone, disappeared. And then I looked down at the other little one down there on the floor, and he's just kind of shaking there. He's just sitting there not knowing what to do. And I looked at him, I said, you will not mock him anymore. You loose him and you let him go. I cast you out in Jesus' name. And that demon, boom, was gone. Now, there was no significant change in the man at that moment. I just prayed for him. I had hands on him. I laid hands, kept them on him. I just prayed for whatever damage might have been done to his body by these foul things. I just prayed for them to be healed. I prayed for his mind to be healed. And then I just, in Jesus' name, it's done. And that was it. I said, it's done, you know. And I don't even think I said anything to the wife. I don't remember Eva. I don't think I said anything until after Eva and I left, and then I think I told Eva what all happened. And the reason being is sometimes people can be a little superstitious, you know, and you don't want to open the door, so you just shut them. You shut the doors. You keep them shut up. Jesus did it all the time. He shut the demons up. He wouldn't let them talk. You know, he wouldn't let them talk because he didn't want to bring that fear out, or that superstition out on other people. That, you know, if that spirit leaves that guy, is he going to jump on me? Kind of a thing. But those things were gone, you know. And so we left, you know, we talked for a little while and stuff, and then we left and got home. And I found out a couple weeks later, or it might have been a little bit longer than that, I found out that within a couple weeks, he's back at work. He found a job. He's back at work, totally in his right mind, totally going back to a normal life and everything. And see, that's God, you know, that's the power of God, you know. And when at that moment, when I laid hands on him, the kingdom of God came upon him, and that demon couldn't stand in the face of the kingdom of God, you know, couldn't do it, couldn't handle it. Surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. And that's because the Holy Spirit, he embodies the reality of that. He carries and conducts the reality of that. And he cast him out. And Luke 11:20 is the same passage, basically, but, you know, same incident. But it says, if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. And you know, that word cast out there in both those places is the word ekbalo, which means to eject, to cast out, to drive out, to send out with the notion of violence. And he says, the kingdom of God has come upon you. And the word upon there is a word, is actually the word epi, which means over or upon you. Okay? And so that when you're ministering, man, God's all of a sudden externalizing his power. He's externalizing by the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, the kingdom of God, and causing it to step out and begin to affect the very atmosphere and the people around it that it comes to. And it's really a trip. Now, the word finger there is actually just the word doctulos. It means a finger. And it's in reference to God writing the tablets with his finger. It says in Exodus 31:18, and when he had made an end of speaking with him on Mount Sinai, he gave Moses, and this is God talking, he gave Moses two, not talking, but this is God doing this, he gave Moses two tablets of the testimony. tablets of stone written with the finger of God. And the finger of God is his power. It can be just that, that's precise and that's specific to where he could write out that the whole tablet on stone, all the testimony, the Ten Commandments, as we understand it. And that's the power of God when you look at it. So when you cast out demons, man, you know, it's very precise and it's very powerful, the force that's hitting those demons, and it drives them out. And he says, and surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Come upon you. And so when we start walking in these things, you know, we're expressing the kingdom of God as we go about our business. Another thing I wanted to just bring up so you guys could to get a hold of this is that healing is now part of the kingdom of God coming near us. Luke 10:8-9 says, whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you and heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. Heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. Now, and they receive you means, that word receive there is the word decomine. It means it's a very passive thing, but it means to grant access to as a visitor. In other words, that city accepts what you're saying and people will take you into their home and they'll lodge you and let you continue preaching, you know, for however long you're there. You know, God says, don't abuse that. He says, if they, whatever house you go into, you know, they receive you there, eat what's been put before you, eat what's given to you. Amen. And then what else are you to do? And see, you got to understand, he didn't send them out to just heal. He sent them out to preach the kingdom of God. Remember, we talked about that much earlier, a few weeks back, that they were sent out to preach the kingdom of God. And so when they go out and they preach the kingdom of God, he says, while you're there, heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. And the word heal there is the word therapeuo, which means to wait upon manually, specifically to relieve of disease, to heal, to cure, to restore to health. In other words, minister to the sick there, to lay hands on them so that they can get well. And a lot of them got well immediately. I mean, the apostles, the disciples saw that. They came back and they were rejoicing in the fact that God, you know, that God's power was manifesting through them to heal the sick. But he told them to say this to him. When you heal the sick there, say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. And come near is one word. It's the word agiso, which means to make near, to approach. There defines it as to draw or come near to approach. Amen. To draw. It's approached you. And listen to me. When you heal somebody, that doesn't mean the kingdom of God is in them. It's come near them. It's upon them. It's over them. It's around them. It's still up to them to yield to it and receive the kingdom of God for themselves. And if they receive it, then it can come into them. And that's what you have to understand. God's not going to force himself on people. But part of what happens is if people, listen to me, and these were not saved people. These were all Jewish. They all had covenant with God. So they were in a place where God could minister to them. But when you go preach the kingdom of God, when you preach the gospel, the good news, you know, when you start preaching these things to them, especially that God wants you healed, you know, that God, that this is part of your covenant, this is part of what you were meant to live, you know, and they start responding to that, coming to you for healing. That's when, you know, you can pray for them and they'll be healed even though they're not born again. But the kingdom of God has come near to them. That doesn't mean that they've received it, but it's come near to them and it's up to them to yield to it and receive it. Amen. I remember T.L. Osborne. You know, he was a missionary to many countries. And he started off as a I believe it was a Baptist missionary. And he went to this one country, I don't remember which one, but he failed miserably there. He came home and he was very frustrated because nobody was getting saved. And he didn't want to just be there to teach them English or to, you know, to teach them how to eat with a fork and a knife. He was there to get people saved. He wanted to see souls brought to the kingdom of God. And so he was very depressed, came back, and he started praying and seeking God and getting in the Word. And all of a sudden, he started finding out that he was lacking something. He was lacking the power of God. And that was a very similar experience to what I had, you know, when I before I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I recognized that I was missing something in my walk. That my walk wasn't expressing, it wasn't showing the same thing that what the New Testament was declaring. And he found that he did the same thing. And so he ended up getting filled with the Holy Spirit, spoke with tongues, and began to pray and seek God. And then God told him to go over. But he said, I want you to go be a missionary. He said, but I want you to do what they were doing before. I want you to do things differently. I want you to go over there and just start preaching Jesus and start preaching healing and start preaching deliverance and being set free. You know, and you don't have to be demon possessed and all this. Because, I mean, he went to places where they had, you know, where they believed in, you know, multitude of gods. And you know, they would, you know, there were some of them were demon possessed, straight up demon possessed. And so he went over and he did what God told him. And he just started preaching Jesus to people. And you know, they started coming and they started coming in groups. And as they started coming to him, and then he would just command them to be healed. He would pray over them and lay hands on them to be healed. And he saw miracle after miracle. I mean, miracles. So many miracles that there was one time, and as his ministry grew, he started using stadiums because he would go to a place and they'd fill the stadium up. And he would just stand there and preach Jesus to them until they started believing it. And then, you know, he would tell them, you know, when it came time to lay hands on them and stuff like that, you know, he would pray for them. And God was moving so powerfully that he was moving. The kingdom of God came upon them and was stretching out way beyond him and maybe the first group of people. And people would start throwing their bandages, their crutches, their wheelchairs. They would abandon them. You know, they would start screaming and worshiping Jesus. And God would just start healing them right out there where they were. And there were times at the end of his campaign while he was there, they would have piles and piles of crutches and wheelchairs and things that they had to haul away, that they would have to bring trucks in to haul away because of how many people got healed. You know, I mean, this is an expression of that. But he was called to it. That was what he was called to. He was called as an evangelist. And he went out and he evangelized. And part of what accompanies the evangelist is the gifts of healings, you know, gifts of healings, working of miracles. Amen. That's what followed him, you know. And so, I mean, the testimonies that this guy, if you get a chance to read any books about him and any of, you know, what his campaigns were about, it would be something that would be really a blessing to you, really encourage you to understand that. Now he was called to do that, but that doesn't mean you and I can't walk in that to the degree that we're called to it. And you're called to it, and the more you walk in it, the more that degree can increase. Remember, it's to the degree that the power is at work in you. That's to the degree of it, all right? The degree that the power is at work in you. Amen? Now, all of these scriptures, you could say, well, that all belongs to the disciples. Well, no, it didn't. I mean, the 70 were involved in this. The 12 were involved in this, you know? Look here, Mark 16:17-18. You know, we can bring it near to others by praying for them too. We can do the same thing. We can bring the kingdom of God to others by praying for them. Mark 16:17-18 says, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it'll by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. You know, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. We can do that as well. We can cast out demons. We can speak in new tongues. We can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Now, taking up serpents is, you know, that's like Paul took up a serpent where he was bitten. You know, it had latched onto him. He took it up. It was latched onto his hand. And it was a viper. It was a deadly, deadly, venomous snake. And it was latched onto his hand and he shook it off over the fire. You know, he didn't just shake it off and throw it away. He shook it off over the fire so that it would die in the fire. But he felt no harm. And see, when you're out there, you know, whether it's missionaries, whether it's, you know, you're out there ministering to people, wherever you're at, you know, this is part of your authority as a believer. This is part of what you walk in, is that you don't have to be fearful of serpents. You don't have to be fearful of drinking anything deadly. It'll by no means hurt you. It'll by no means hurt you. and then you can lay hands on the sick. And the word lay there means is the word epitithemi, which means to impose. And it could be in a friendly or hostile sense. But in a friendly sense, hopefully you're praying for the sick in a friendly sense. You know, you lay hands on them. You put your hands on them. And the word sick there is the word arostos, which means infirm. There defines it as without strength, weak, sick. And they will recover. And that word recover there is a combination of echo, which means to hold, and kalos, which means well, to hold well. There defines it as echo to have, i.e. to hold, and kalos to be well, of those recovering health. Now, kalos means more than that. The term of kalos can be used as in referencing what's good. But there defined it in the context that we see it here as to be well, of those recovering health. You will be well, recover health. Amen. Glory to God. That's awesome. These are things that, this is how the kingdom of God begins to express itself and to manifest. Now, people, you know, understand something. If you're thinking that the kingdom of God is going to express itself and you're going to be rich and famous, throw that away. Now, there's ways for that kind of, that blessing, the need blessing, the things that, you know, come upon you, those, that's part of, you know, that the blessings of Abraham. Amen. That's part of your covenant. And by definition, I believe it's part of this. But don't live for those things, man. That's the wrong thing to live for. You should be living for righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. You should be living for the power of God and walking in the power of God. That's what we should be living for, all of us. And, you know, it's too late. I've already shared this with you. So you can't deny, you can't sit there and say and claim ignorance with God. You know, we're called to this. Amen. This is something we're called to. This is the kingdom of God. God wants to express his kingdom to the world. He's out to draw people in, not drive them away. Amen. You know, our personalities can never become more important than, you know, than the kingdom of God expressing through us. You know, I read a scripture that really exhorted me today. You know, I wasn't reading. It was actually part of my confessions. I was doing my confessions earlier this morning, and there was a, and it was one of the confessions that convicted me a little bit. Not convicted because I strive to do it, but I saw the power and how serious God is, you know, about us making, you know, making sure we're doing things that we're supposed to be doing. Amen. Praise God. Well, I'm going to stop here today, and we'll pick up on this next week.